The reading is from Galatians chapter 3, verse 15 to 25, and is found on page 186 of the New Testament. Brothers and sisters, I give an example from daily life. Once a person's will has been ratified, no one adds to it or annuls it. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, as of many, but it says, and to your offspring, that is one person who is Christ. My point is this, the law, which came 430 years later, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance comes from the law, it no longer comes from the promise. But God granted it to Abraham through the promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring would come to whom the promise had been made, and it was ordained through angels by a mediator. Now a mediator involves more than one party, but God is one. Is the law then opposed to the promises of God? Certainly not, for if a law had been given that could make alive, then righteousness would indeed come through the law. But the scripture has imprisoned all things under the power of sin, so that what was promised through faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. This is the word of the Lord.
As we remain standing, let us pray. From the words of our hymn that began our service, me through change and chance he guideth, only good and only true. God unknown, he alone calls my heart to be his own. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, move among us, we pray, and speak to each one of our hearts, that we may come to know you and trust you and believe in you today and forevermore. Amen. Please be seated. A very good morning to all of you here in St. Lawrence's in Lechlade, misty Lechlade as it was when I came to church this morning, and a very warm welcome to you all who are following us on live stream. It is lovely that we can share our worship with you this morning and every Sunday, and we hope you're enjoying the service, and especially the singing of the choir, which I'm enjoying sitting up at the front here. And I would also like to thank the vicar, Andrew Cinnamon, for inviting me to share in the ministry here in St. Lawrence's. It is a very great privilege to share with Denver and all the team and all of you, the congregation, which means such a lot to me. Last week, Gareth, our wonderful curate, emphasized his message with a neat phrase, which I'm sure if you were here, you will recall. I won't ask you to put your hands up. It was simply this: faith is enough. Do you remember that? Yes. Yes, you do. Faith is enough. So if you do remember it, I wondered if it's been your prayer for the last week. Have you been walking along, maybe with the dog, or pushing the pram, or carrying the shopping home, or sitting at home, saying quietly to yourself, faith is enough, faith. This morning, I just want to add two words to that neat phrase, faith in Jesus is enough. As I approached this morning's passage in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. I certainly had those words in mind. But I was dismayed, I have to admit, because, speaking simply, St. Paul's letter is so complicated. Did you not find it so? But it was read beautifully for us by Ros. Thank you, Ros. But it's jolly difficult to get your mind round it. As someone who was about to read from Galatians said to me last Sunday, it's very difficult, to which I agreed. But I thought to myself, well, as long as you read from a modern version, modern translation, you might not find it so difficult, which to my relief they did, and with great care and clarity, I might add. But nevertheless, it was difficult, and that is why we have this series in Galatians to think about what Paul is saying after it's been read to us in church. After all, his purpose in writing was very much that he wants his hearers, us, to understand, to know what benefits, what blessing is gained by believing in Jesus. When I was young, my parents took me to church. It must have seemed the right thing to do. Not a rule exactly, but well, I don't know why we went really. We just went. But as a general rule, that's what the Schoons family did on Sunday mornings. We went to church. We never, ever talked about the service afterwards. And we certainly never talked about Jesus around the lunch table. When I grew up, I went to church on Sunday as a rule, but I'm not sure why. Big churches in Plymouth, smart churches in London, it looked good to dress up in a suit and go off to church. It seemed to me the right thing to do on Sunday. When Jesus came into my life, the rule, the law, which had hitherto guided my life, my Sundays, evaporated. And in its place came a desire, a joy, a need to join a church, to be there, part of it, belonging. There was, if you like, a certainty in my life, a fulfilling of something new, what we would call and recognize as worship. As we learnt in the Lent groups this week, worshipping offers us fresh insights into God. Yes, indeed, thinking back, becoming a Christian gave one a new and real relationship with God, a fresh insight after all those years of following a rule, of simply going to church on Sunday. It became a personal experience of knowing Jesus. I guess it was like being set free from a rule. As Paul says in the English Standard Version of the Bible in chapter 3, verse 22, the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. At this point, I'm reminded of that wonderful Wesleyan hymn that I think we sang last week, didn't we? I didn't check the notice sheet. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Wonderful words. Remember Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jews convinced Jews, the disciples of their day, and later after Jesus, people like Paul, experienced Jesus, believed in him, trusted in him, put their faith not in a rule, but in him. And the strict rule-keeping, the Jewish religiosity, disappeared in their lives. However, far from letting one off the hook, so to speak, the believer should know why Jesus is so important to this new relationship. There are many indications of this in our service this morning, words that have already been said. But let me just take you over one point. In his letter to the Romans, Paul says this, chapter 3, verse 23. This is bad news and the good news. Bad news first. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So let's be honest, we're all in this together. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then the good news, chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his great hymn that I spoke of, the refrain goes like this. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? There's no question mark there, by the way. It's an acclamation, an assertion, assumption, and true. It's true for me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Let me put it this way. Thank you, Denver. Do you remember learning to drive? Some of you haven't, you've learned, haven't you? Theo, you've learned already. One or two perhaps not yet, but most of you have learned to drive. One or two in the choir haven't learned to drive yet. Still a bit young, but it will come. It was very much quieter in those days on the roads, wasn't it? For most of us. A quiet place. More than 50 years ago in my case, I was taught the law of the road, presumably, and I was taught how to drive a car. I had lessons. My father aged rather considerably at trying to teach me himself. And then one day, I was tested, watched and judged on how I drove on that day. And on that day, I passed my test. And I was free. And that drive back from Weston-super-Mare to Burnham-on-Sea in my mother's car was one of the best drives of my life, because I was free. Since then, despite all my good intentions and my love of driving in this country and in more recent times on the continent, I have to admit that I have sinned. I have broken the law many times. And yes, before you ask, I have attended not one, but two speed awareness courses. I have sinned. But they don't punish you. Well, you paid a hefty fine for the privilege of attending. But they don't judge you. But rather they teach you and encourage you to drive better. They offer you a fresh perspective on driving. A lovely phrase from our Lent course, a fresh perspective. When a believer has faith in Jesus, a new person is born, born again, born of the Spirit. Jesus says to Nicodemus, born from above. How can this be? Why? Because God loves you and me, and he forgives you and me. And he gives you and me a new life, a new way to do better each day, to live at peace with God our Heavenly Father, having a clear conscience and having a new outlook on life, trusting him, seeking his will and guidance for our lives. As someone once said to me in the early years of my new life in Christ in London, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Ever since that day, I've believed and have seen that to be true. As a Christian, yes, you know that you are a sinner, mea culpa, getting it wrong again. But yes, you are knowing that you are forgiven and that you are assuredly accepted by God. The invitation in Scripture is to believe in Jesus, to put your faith in him alone, set free from the law, from rules and regulations, simply to believe, to have faith in Jesus. Paul wanted, in his letter to the churches in Galatia, to come back to this pure gospel, to Jesus, who died on the cross for their sins and ours, and who rose again, and who is sitting at the right hand of God. And the message of Galatians is the same for us today. Faith is enough. Faith in Jesus. As we say in the responsive creed, we believe and trust in him. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in Jesus, God makes us one family. God's family, TAT, as they call it here, together at 10, here at St. Lawrence's Lechlade, or watching with us on live stream, now or later on, wherever we are in the world. What a wonderful gift to be part of God's family through faith in Jesus. But that's for another Sunday. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for St. Paul writing this wonderful, difficult letter. Thank you for coming to meet us today, helping us to understand a little bit more of what he is saying to the church today. Bless these words to us and us in our pilgrimage, our family life together, wherever we go from here in the days ahead, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.